Hello everyone, welcome to the PC Gamer Podcast. My name's Tim Edwards, and we are having a Team Fortress 2 special. This is special, appreciate how special it is. Joining me in the studio for this special podcast is Tom Francis.
Hello.
What class do you play, Tom?
I play mostly, I guess, Sniper.
Really?
Kind of.
No.
What?
But over time you played more Spy. Sure.
More Spy initially. I guess Soldier actually is probably most commonly played class now.
And Rich McCormick, what class do you play, Rich?
I play Pyro because I'm special.
Okay. Special boy. And Craig, what do you play?
Well, I'm obviously a spy, aren't I?
Craig is a spy. So why do we want to do a Team Fortress 2 special, Tom? Why have we actually decided we need to do this?
Because the engineer update is out, and that's a big deal in itself. But also, it's the last of the class updates, so now Valve have gone through all of the 9 classes, given all of them completely new weapons and achievements and all kinds of stuff. And so there's kind of a question of how has the game moved forward since it came out originally, and also where's it going to go next?
So where we reviewed it must have been about 2.5-3 years ago now, I guess.
October, something like that. And it came out October 17th, 2007.
October 17th, 2007. That is quite precise.
Not a correct number off my heart. That kind of thing. It had sevens in it.
Yeah. And we gave it how much...
We get 94%.
94%.
That was the highest of the
orange
box?
Yeah, the orange box was 94 for TF2, 93 for Episode 2, and 92 for Portal.
And what would you give it now?
95.
So after 3 years of constant updating, constant work.
You've earned yourself one more percent. what morale, they have, I think the significant thing about that is that if you as Drew review like... Modern Warfare's multiplayer today, it would now get like sort of 60% because it hasn't improved at all. It's got much more boring because it's, you know, tired and the community hasn't really done anything interesting with it, and it's just that's been out for much less time than TF2.
Their updates to the players really imbalance the game as well, it seems.
So if TF2 had just stayed even at 94% for 3 years, that would be an incredible accomplishment in itself. The fact that it's even better now is quite amazing.
We think a lot about how we cover games as they improve and get better. And one of the constant things is we should re-review games as they get better. Tom seems to be saying that would be bad for everyone if we were to.
If we reviewed games that hadn't got better, then yeah. It's interesting I think we do a fairly good job of keeping up with any major developments. Like if a game has changed in terms of like a patch has changed it, like TF2, then we do an update on it, which is just to kind of look at what's changed. And if a game releases paid DLC, then we review it because they're charging money for it. And the interesting thing that's kind of emerged from that to me is that really big games by amazing companies that scored, you know, 90s or high 80s in our magazine will release a bunch of DLC that mostly gets kind of 50, 60, maybe 70%. Yeah. Like DLC seems to be really hard to do well.
It seems almost like it's just an inevitability about it. There's just like, I mean, there are so many questions. I'm going to go to press events where people are just announcing games. So I was at Dead Space 2 event, and the first question was, are you thinking about DLC? And it's just like this inevitability. It's just like, let them fix the game. Let them make sure the main game's perfect before they actually start thinking about it. And they're not getting that time. They're just thinking about this stuff before it gets launched because it's just basically an add-on to make money now.
So...
Which is exactly what TOTF2 doesn't do.
Bringing it back to the Team Fortress 2 thing, when you started playing the game for the first time, Tom, did you see any of this coming?
I knew it was Valve, and they were, like, it launched with 5-6 maps, so we knew it was going to have more maps, and they told us that outright. And even if they hadn't, you would expect it from their ongoing support of all their other stuff. And we knew it would be rebalanced and patched and patch and patch and patch, but I don't think anyone had any idea just how much content they were adding. I remember when we went out to Valve actually flew us out to their studios just to see the medic update before it launched, which at the time wasn't called the medic update because it was just the holy shit, TF2 has just turned into an RPG.
The update.
And it added the medic weapons, the
medic
the payload
as well.
A bunch of maps and stuff. And it was just like a complete headfuck, basically. What the hell? You can't do this.
So the medic update added the bone saw, the
Ubersaw.
The Ubersaw and the Quitzkrieg.
And the Blutsauger.
Which do you think of those updates of those weapons was the kind of the one that worked the best? And do you think they Because one of the things that Valve do really well is they learn from their mistakes. So it's interesting to kind of think if there are any mistakes in that first update that...
Yeah, the Quitscreed quickly became sort of reviled by the community for being useless. And they've, to be honest, they've done that a few times since then. It seems like with most of the class packs, there's been one weapon where everyone says, what? That's rubbish. But they've done a really good job, I think, of rebalancing it. Like when it came out, it was just, it gave you crits instead of Uber. And these days it now charges nearly twice as fast as the Uber. Yeah. And they've changed the way the critsing works as well, I think, and the duration of it. And so they've done a good job of learning from their mistakes and actually fixing their mistakes rather than just trying to get it right next time. But they probably still haven't got to the stage where everything works out. Although I do think the engineer update is pretty close to perfect. I mean, there'll be some rebalancing going on, but I don't think there's any dud in there. You don't point to anything and say, that's rubbish.
Craig, when Gold Rush came out, the payload map, we pretty much played it every day for ever.
To be fair, I mean, I haven't stopped playing everything for you guys have.
What was it about that map that made it work so well?
For me, as a player, it felt quite strangely static. The control point stuff was static. The capture the flag stuff, it was just a strangely inevitable thing.
Yeah.
With the payload thing, it's got this sort of drama to the everyone on the fucking cart and push the fucking cart. Everyone, and if you're part of the opposition team and you can move against the cart, it's got this incredibly fluid movement to it that's just wonderful. As a spy, the cart is a focal point, is brilliant, and it sort of is the first map that actually made me feel like, well, I can actually do something that helps the team. I can take out everyone in that cart as a spy, and I think eventually most classes can find out a way to focus on the cart themselves. So a soldier can spam the cart, I think. So you've got this great focal point, this one area, rather than all these sort of different routes around the maps and all this. So it's beautifully designed. There was a poll, I think, on TF2 maps. It's still, most people think Gold Rush is a bit better than Badwater, which you'd probably have the PC gaming community disagree on that.
Because I think Badwater is one of the best levels of all time, actually.
Yeah, me too. It's so open. I think having that as a payload map really helps it as well, because if that was just a capture the CP flag, the action would still be move. But with the payload thing, you can have team members going off and doing the one thing. You can, as a spy, I've got so much opportunity to sneak around that area, sneak around the back and get into and behind people. It's so open, it's so beautiful.
Separating, so all the previous kind of maps that we've been playing were attack and defense that you had to kind of balance your time with.
Yeah.
By separating out attack and I suppose like that's
Dust Bowl
is asymmetrical. The asymmetrical
and gravel pit.
Yeah.
So I'm completely wrong.
Basically. It was really weird when it came out that there's kind of the map prefixes are CP and CTF. Those are the only ones that it launched with. And yet the CP maps, when I was first playing it, when I was reviewing it, I was kind of struggling to grasp what CP meant, because like CP could be, Dust Bowl is nothing like Granary. There's just nothing in common between the two. One's a symmetrical thing where, you can just run around capturing the points and it can flow either way. The other one's just two completely different teams, asymmetrical both in structure of the map and in terms of what the teams can and can't do.
Yeah.
And so it's always had kind of more game modes than it seemed to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are getting away from the symmetry. The more symmetrical maps, it seems like. I think that's the most rewarding thing for being a player. You're not copying exactly what the other team can be doing on the same side.
The reason I put Badwater to Gold Rush is that Gold Rush has that bit at the start of the second map, the second cap of the second map, where you charge out up a ramp, you go across a bridge, you turn right, and then there's this kind of hut area with a walkway going across the track. And that final cap is just a fucking nightmare to actually get to.
It's really hard.
And engineers can set up sentry nests in there that just can't be beaten, I think.
Yeah.
Mm. It's the kind of the attack-defend kind of mechanic, is it? I think it's quite good in the payload map particularly. I mean, you always think at the start of the game and it says you are attacking or you are defending, but because it becomes such a push to get to a place, so you make an artificial bulwark at the beginning, so you are attacking, you still defend the point you've got to, and it's attack and defend on an organic scale rather than attack the entire map, defend the entire, because you can find yourself on the attack defend map just doing defend, defend, defend repeatedly.
Yeah.
So which of the updates that came out do you think has been most successful?
I mean, the engineer is really, really good. I think it's one of my favourites. Yeah. But I think for me, the sniper and spy coming out together and both having brilliant items was, you know, a proper revelation. It really changed the game for me. I mean, when you asked what class I play at the start, Sniper just sprung to mind because I was just thinking about the game I had yesterday where, I headshotted kind of five people in the row with the bow. And it just feels incredible. It's amongst the most fun I've ever had with the game.
Okay.
I think with the demo Man and Soldier one was a big thing, particularly for community-focused stuff, because you're always aware there's this kind of bubbling community going on, but then you see the amazing shit that they make and pull out, people doing all these posters and the people showing what they actually had won and what hadn't won.
Yeah.
You see how they've done to the game, but also what the game's done to people as well. So I think that's been one of the most successful.
It's weird. I mean, the Scout one wasn't terribly successful. A lot of people complained about the fan, is it?
Yeah, Force of Nature. And the Sandman.
Yeah, the community, especially the competitive community, when the Force of Nature, I think it was because it moved people. It bound to mark. And for some reason, I don't know why, but the competitive community really disliked the fan. The ball as well. They hated being frozen in place. I mean, I hate being frozen in place generally, but as a competitive player, I probably would be fucking furious.
Because I don't know that much about, and I love Team Fortress 2, but I haven't really been involved or tried to look at the competitive stuff. Do they use the items in competitive games, or do they just kind of go pure vanilla?
I don't think anyone knows that. They did ban certain items,
right?
And I think at the start they banned them just because not everyone had them.
I think tournaments have like an agreed kind of rule set that they go by, and that's evolved over time. Like initially, no one was allowed to use any unlocks. Like competitive play was just completely vanilla, and it was a sort of point of contention that Valve were actually worried about it, that this would stop them from gaining any traction in the competitive scene.
And Valve have certain elements in the game that are there for the competitive players. That they've got like a mode where everyone just runs around the server at the beginning with until everyone gets ready. They have certain things you can switch on and switch off as well. And actually, just recently, they didn't hold it themselves, but they promoted a public versus competitive match. I don't know who won that, but I think it was 9-6.
I think we should find a way of getting a competitive Team Fortress 2 PC gamer team together. Like, not us, obviously, but we can cheerlead them from our website
and dance around in the background.
And it'd be quite easy to be competitive with the weapons that Craig and Tom have, though. Community launches.
I still quite enjoy the J Server guys just for the fact that they're the comedy competitive team.
So we it's funny because PC Gamer gave away, we hosted the biggest prize money Team Fortress 2 tournament ever that there ever has been. At PC Gamer Showdown, and we had some community guys come in there, and they got absolutely whooped.
But they all enjoyed it.
They did. They did take the piss out of Four Kings as well.
Didn't they manage to taunt kill someone from Four Kings?
Yeah, which is pretty fantastic.
More than once as well.
Yeah, I don't think Four Kings actually enjoyed that too much.
One of my favourite things about that was there was all just a public game on that day, and I was playing it, and I suddenly realised I was top of all these competitive players as a spy. Yes.
Yeah, because the team structures they use is more about kind of rockets and demo men.
Yeah, they don't use the spy at all.
Should we talk about the engineer update itself?
Yes, definitely. So the best thing about the engineer update is the new maps, I think.
Yeah. So you added payload.
Two payloads.
Payload Hightower. Oh no, payload Race Hightower and payload Thunder Mountain.
Yeah. So the race map is fantastic.
It can get really bogged down sometimes.
Is that because it is being played by too many people on a server?
Like, I think it may just be because too many people are playing NG right now. I have had two really good games in that, and probably about four or five kind of just hanging around.
Right. I find that now, because there's so many engineers, a medic heavy combo can just destroy an entire team. I think obviously it's beatable, but you get quite finally your team is decimated just immediately by someone playing the game properly.
But like, the hard counter to the engineers is the demo man, and I'd like every time anyone tries to build an NG nest, it's relatively easy just to bounce some grenades.
Some of them don't nest anymore. I mean, they don't need to nest. They can with the Wrangler, as one of the unlocks, which is a remote control for the sentry gun. They don't need to stand around whacking at a sentry in a little corner.
That's my favorite thing about the update, because I think before then, like TF2 as it stood before the engineer update, for a long time I've been getting pissed off with sentry nests and with just demo men spamming me constantly. And just getting killed by random grenades or stickies you couldn't have seen. And Sentry Nest
that's
kind
the whole
of
fun of the demo. Stickies you can't see is amazing.
Cutting heads off.
Actually, I very rarely get caught by stickies I haven't seen. It's mostly these demo men who can use stickies in combat in a way that can't. Like, they just don't explode that early for me. I don't know what they're doing.
It's a script.
Anyway, engineers, Sentry Nest, were particularly as a spy, just it's really annoying when you do a perfect sap and stab and you get annihilated by someone else's sentry you just couldn't have done anything about. Yeah. And the only solution to it is a properly coordinated Uber, and I just don't have the time or energy to get that going. So the fact that NGs, they're not stopped from doing that. You can still do everything you could do before the engineer update, and better just by switching to the Wrangler and, you know, giving it a boost for a while, because the Wrangler increases the rate of fire and the hit points of your sentry.
The range as well, isn't it? Because they can shoot further.
Yeah,
but it's also got limited ammo.
And yet people don't seem to be doing that. Like, I've seen just loads more combat engineers just because it's so much more fun than sitting there whacking a sentry all the time. Even the people who are using the Wrangler with a like level 3 sentry don't seem to be completely dominating the game yet.
Most people thought that when the engineering update came, it would be really difficult for spies. I found it really easy because there's a couple of things. Like, the Wrangler, if you switch away from it, your sentry is dead for 3 seconds. So it makes stabbing and sapping much easier if they've got the Wrangler
so
for a start.
So you stab and then sap.
And also, most NGs actually still are slightly camping their own sentry. They're not picking it somewhere and then running off somewhere else, which is what I would do. And that's where the strength of an engineer is to not be near your sentry. It's to be somewhere where your sentry can't be so you can actually watch it but not be stabbed and then sapped at the same time. You're not completely wiped out.
And the Wrangler means that they're always focusing on where they're firing. Because with a sentry without a Wrangler, you just leave it and fire it itself, and you can be watching its back. When using the Wrangler, you have to be looking in the direction it's firing, so you open yourself to backstabs, because both you and your sentry are facing that way.
But I find that if you have a pyro with you, like I played with Jazz a bit yesterday, and he was pyroing for me while I was doing that, and it saves a lot of time when you have someone actually watching your back for you while you can aim things. But that
pyro plus sentry is maddening.
How are you finding the kind of interface for servers? Because that's always been like a bone of contention.
Yeah. I still think it sucks. I think that...
I think the whole new menu sucks, to be honest.
I don't mind the kind of changes to the menu, but the way the server browser works is... I'm not sure if they should change it now, but I wish they'd started out with a system where only vanilla servers are listed in the main listing, and custom servers are free to do whatever they want in the custom tab. They tried to introduce this once, but it didn't really take... and just so that people who just want to play the normal, ordinary game can get into a game easily. You just can't at the moment.
I think the problem is that people always find a way around.
They can always hack their server to not...
It bothers me when you go to so much trouble just to get people on a server that they're going to leave 10 seconds later.
Yeah. Well, after the failed experiment where they put the custom tab in and they had that problem where, you know, it sort of incentivized people to pretend their server wasn't custom when it was, they've since... kind of put in a system where they want to detect bad servers who are, you know, lying about what they've got in and
naughty server.
And so they just take the average time that people spend on there before leaving. So if loads of people jump in and jump out straight away, they assume it's a bad server.
Yeah, they've lowered.
I don't think they've done anything with it yet. They haven't started sort of pulling those servers off or anything, but that would be one way they could have combated it.
I mean, you can actually blacklist a server you don't like, you just right click and it's like,
you can do it manually.
Hide it as well.
I've started doing
it. There's so many of them though. It's like,
I mean, server owners are absolute jerks.
What makes a bad server? You know, what do we think makes a bad server?
Custom zones.
Instant respawn. Which, it's a nice idea. You don't have to wait to respawn, but you haven't thought about how the game actually works, which is you can only push when the enemy are dead and waiting to respawn. Yeah. If they're never dead, then you can't ever win.
I don't mind the ones that have like 32 men on it or whatever. That's not that much of a problem. We don't have an our server because I just want it to be a vanilla server. I want people to be able to join and not have any of the crap join. But anyone who has like stats popping up all the time.
Because it floods the chat thing, so you can't actually see
what people
are saying.
But they also have like commands that take over your buttons as well. So it's like, vote now, you know.
What about no crits?
I actually like no crits, but I wouldn't mind if, you know, because I played on villain servers, I wasn't allowed to have it. But if I see that, it certainly doesn't put me off because random crits just piss me off.
I really like random crits. I still enjoy playing with them. I've been playing with them for so long, it just comes part of the game to me.
It feels like a little prize when you do get one, like you've done something good, even if you haven't.
But you haven't. It's random.
But it's not random. It's, you know, it's based on your performance.
But that's what bothers me. You know, if it was like, after you've done 800 damage, your next shot will be a crit, I'd be fine with it. But it's because you don't know which shot's going to be a crit, and the enemy doesn't know.
But as a soldier, one of the greatest pleasures in life is seeing a crocket going in and knowing it's going to hit.
See, I think that's awesome, but I think it should be tied to some unlock. It should be like, if you kill someone with Equalizer, your next rocket shot.
I mean, they are starting to tie crits to certain things.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. So I like every time they bring out an unlock that does crits guaranteed under certain circumstances, I really like it. Yeah. I think that's... I was really dismissive at first with the engineer update when they talked about Frontier Justice, which if your sentry gets destroyed and your sentry's had some kills, then you get a few guaranteed crits with your shotgun. I'm like, my shotgun, I don't really want to use that anyway.
That's fine.
I want to have another sentry. Yeah. And then as you actually looked at what the rest of the update was, and then as you start to play around with it, you realize if you're playing a combat engineer with the little combat sentries that you can't upgrade, that are really cheap to place, really quick to build, have full health from the moment you put them down, you are going to get a lot of assists, which count towards your revenge counts. You are going to get one or two kills, which count double towards your revenge counts. Mm-hmm. And they are going to get destroyed all the time. Like, the fact that your sentry is constantly being destroyed is actually an advantage for you as a combat engineer.
That's my favourite part of the update, as being a combat engineer. I find that chucking it... I've started doing it with... I actually found it to be more useful when I was using proper sentries, level 3 sentries. I had one when I was defending one of the new maps and had probably level 3 sentries set up in an amazing place. People kept coming in and dying to it. And when that went down, I had 30-plus crits. I just went around the map screaming, just unloading and chucking into people there.
Well, I'm the opposite. Like, I really like this quick disposable sentries and just getting, like, revenge crits at a time. Because I tend to die before I can use them all.
It's
a really interesting dynamic because they could have done. Obviously, they wanted to encourage a combat engineer who roams around, doesn't have to sit there hitting a thing with a wrench all the time. Yeah. And so he needed some kind of buff to his direct damage because you can't completely rely on those combat sentries. And they could have just given him like a machine gun or, you know, some beefed up secondary weapon that would have been more effective. But I really admire them for sticking with the shotgun and just giving it a way to be useful that's tied directly to the way he plays.
Yeah, I find it's got a lot longer range as well, the way...
Because crits don't have damage fall off, so they will...
Yeah, actually, it's weird, because every time I've been playing it, it looks like a rifle rather than a shotgun, and I start thinking I can snipe people with it.
I've been playing like a hunting kind of shotgun. Like.
Psychologically, it really messes my game up.
But it's kind of cool that you have this... You have a bunch of crits, which does dramatically increase your damage output, but it doesn't feel like... total uber charge rampage.
You're still so vulnerable,
you've got to be really careful. So I find myself, once my sentry goes down, if I'm not immediately thinking about building another one, I'm ducking behind a corner and thinking, okay, when do I fire? And even when I get the jump on someone, I won't fire straight away. I'll make sure I'm like point blank to the back of the head.
Three bullets as well means you've only got only three shots to hit them, obviously. So.
Can we talk about crafting?
Yep. Yes.
So I can't remember where it was introduced in what update, but... It's been in for quite a while, and I don't think anyone is particularly happy with the system or what it is.
It's strange. With the new NG unlocks, you could have crafted the level 3 unlock without playing the game at all. Through a special, through all the crafting and through selecting. It's not very well... The problem is that Valve never put tutorials in their games, so they don't have anything until very recently. And even then, it doesn't explain a lot of it to say, here's what you do with the crafting. So if you bought the game recently, it's just gibberish.
Yeah. I did my first crafting today, pretty much.
I started using it, and it's actually quite useful.
It's basically useful because of the recipes, right? Like, not the generic ones where if you craft two things of the same type, then they'll turn into scrap metal, then you turn scrap metal into reclaimed metal, and then reclaimed metal into refined metal, and then three refined metal plus another thing will maybe get you a hat of some kind, but there's no way of determining.
All that work to get something random is not helpful.
It's 81 or other 162 individual weapons to get one hat or something.
You're
absurd.
Kidding me. Is that...
It's along those lines. It's
catastrophically
ridiculous.
Inefficient.
Yeah.
So how... That can't be the only way to get hats.
No.
Hats are randomly dropped or they're crafted. Yeah. Or there's a special event. Okay. But there's no way... I mean, if you have two hats, you can craft them together to get a random other hat. I don't know if there's a way to specify what hat you get in any of the crafting recipes.
There's you can like combine a class token with a hat and a bit of scrap metal, and that gets you a hat of that class. But obviously that number is always increasing. Like, there are now sort of 6 hats for each class, at least.
So if you were... in charge of the hat system at Valve, how would you
Valve keep on calling it a hat simulator
with fighting added as a distraction. I've always thought that unlock should be things you can get fairly easily because everyone should get to try out all the weapons, and that's just a basic thing, and that hat should be like a badge of honor. It really bothers me that seeing it some really cool rare hat on somebody doesn't mean anything. They might have just bought the game half an hour ago and absolutely suck at it, and they're a spy wearing the judge's wig, which is fantastic. So I really wish it was like just a total of points earned as that class in real games with actual players running around doing damage.
Valve the NG update awarded random people with golden wrenches with very special items in the game, and that again, it doesn't seem like a thing that I would encourage in any way. Just
it's almost like you want it to be related to performance.
Yeah, definitely. So I mean, and they're like good. Some of them should be fairly easy to get, like the, you know, just a certain basic hat, like the normal kind of boulder hat for the spy and that kind of thing. Could be things that you just play for like 10 hours as a spy.
Yeah,
you'll probably get it from the points.
I like kind of,
but then stuff like, you know, the judge's wig, or I think the rubber glove for the pyro should be like the ultimate badge of honor because it's just hilarious. Or maybe the mustache and monocle.
The camera beard. Yeah.
The thing is, there are certain hats I really, really want. I'm never going to have the opportunity to actually, you know, get them specifically. I might one day find them.
Not through this system, no.
There's no particular way of doing it.
Yeah,
I like the idea of kind of silent achievements as well. Having like, if you do, rather than necessarily time put into something, but if you do a feat of amazing skill with a person, like not, it doesn't actually say anyway, you know, kill 100 people or whatever it is. If you do something really good, it does say, you know, we recognise you've done this, here's a free hat kind of thing.
I mean, Valve's strangely good at rewarding community members with stuff, but it's like a weapon that just sparkles a little bit rather than something that they would probably actually, I mean, if I was given a choice between a weapon that sparkles or the towering pile of hats, I really want that towering pile of hats.
I don't know, sparkly though. Pretty sparkly weapons, the sparkly ones.
Yeah.
The community items, which are what they give community contributors, they have like a sparkle, their names come up in green, and they're just currently called community equalizer for what I've got, which just sort of sounds like a very sinister job title, equalize communities. And there's even a glitch with a sparkling thing where if you switch away from the sparkly weapon, your next weapon sparkles as well. So
is Valve are still promising. They haven't said it's not going to happen, but they're still suggesting there's going to be a trading system coming out of GF2.
Yeah, that would be really cool, because I'm sure there are people with hats out there that would trade
and
with me.
So the random drops and the crafting was sort of part of this three-point system, and you know, it's still missing this one important element that...
I think Gabe... like I remember Gabe describing the design of Team Fortress 2 and Robin Walker, who makes it, as you have to look back, and he's kind of this guy who... he's got a giant jigsaw in his head and you can't really see the full picture until he's put all the jigsaws in. I think it's an amazing level of trust to essentially that the community has given Valve to say, hey, we bought this game and now you just change it. And we'll probably kick off when something doesn't work, but we trust you to just go ahead and...
But would people still be playing it had there not been any updates, do you reckon?
It wouldn't be playing the same volume. Definitely. They get, I mean, every update and every price drop, they get 20% more people buying it.
Feels
fresh.
But Counter-Strike still is quite big.
Yeah, Counter-Strike's been around since the mid-90s and people are still playing it from there. It doesn't seem to be that level of loyalty nowadays unless someone does something special. And TF2 is that special.
If you touch Counter-Strike now, you get, you know, the wave of people adding achievements the other day, got internet cacophony of just, oh God, how dare you touch my thing, because this is mine now. And
they just want bug fixes in Counter-Strike.
Yeah. But that's the thing, Counter-Strike is a completely unreplicable case. I think it is just a purely special case. It was the one game that was there at the time, so...
I'm slightly surprised that Modern Warfare 2 didn't go down this road as well.
They don't need to do anything. They've got more... They're the most played game on Steam right now.
They can just charge £12 for three maps every few months. Millions.
It's a philosophy, isn't it? You know, we don't want to get...
They will just, you know, charge as much as they can for as little work as they possibly can forever. That's my verdict.
With Valve, still have 15 people. I mean, they've probably got more people working on TF2 now than they did when they launched the game.
So we're going to take some questions from Twitter in a second, but I would like you all to give one tip for your favourite class. So, Craig, tips for being a spy?
Be places where people wouldn't expect you to be. Right. And that means stuff like standing on top of railings when they're firing at you. And don't be afraid. Because if you're standing with a heavy firing at you and you're on top of a railing and he's just missing you, that's the coolest feeling in the world.
Craig takes us into the office as well every time we find him standing on the desk at lunchtime.
Stab you.
I'm going to give a tip to the NG, even though he's probably not my favourite class overall, but he's definitely my favourite at the moment, which is when you're playing with the gunslinger, which is what lets you place the quick combat sentries. Basically think of them as free and just sneak behind enemy lines, set up a teleporter exit and a dispenser somewhere that they're not going to know about. Don't hang around there, just get some metal, run out, drop a sentry where they're not going to expect it, and then leave it alone. Don't think about it at all, just go away. And then expect it to get destroyed. When it does get destroyed, put another one down instantly. You're just a class that can just like churn out sentries constantly. And it works really, really well once you start doing that, because you'll have loads of revenge crits to defend yourself with as well.
Mine for the pyro would be, I've only recently realised it, but the axe extinguisher is amazing, and it's basically, if you get them nearby, it's a one-hit kill if you set them on fire first. So just immediate burst, and then axe extinguisher, axe extinguisher, axe extinguisher. If you don't get it, run away. I've changed my playstyle completely from run for, obviously, W and mouse one, to just puff them once and then start whacking away. And if you miss them, run away as well.
I was playing the pyro last night, or the night before, and I discovered something amazing, which is you can turn on damage sounds, and so it kind of makes a little chime every time you do some damage. As the pyro, it is the most addictive thing in gaming right now, to just go around and hit people for a little bit and then run away kind of cheering, going, while you hear them going ding 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 ding,
racking up the points. The
other thing is that you can turn on like damage numbers, which show kind of how much damage you've done. That is experience points. And if you are a World of Warcraft player, that will help you play
to plus numbers.
Yeah. That's the best way of knowing if you hit someone.
Yeah.
It's really eye-opening when they introduced that, because I was playing as an NG and just using my little pistol, shooting someone miles away. I was, God, this taking off like 11, 12 health every time. I get 10 hits in and I kill someone from full health like that.
Well, yesterday I was using the bow and arrow, and not even pulling it far back, you're getting 50 points per arrow.
Yeah.
We were playing today with bots at lunchtime, and
we lost so badly.
did they beat you?
Yeah. until we decided to go demo men.
The time we won was on Dust Bowl as attackers. All four of us went demo men with swords and shields, and just charging.
The thing is about the bot scouts always use a pistol, and they always use it like unerringly, effectively. Just hit you with every bang, 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 and then 12 pistol shots will take you down. You kind of, most players you play against with a scout won't hit you every time, whereas the bots will.
The funny thing about the game today was we had one pyro who was killing all of us. We all got really angry at a bot.
I was playing the demo man against that pyro, and charged towards him at full speed, going about to crit, and he air blasted me back. I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake. Okay, switch to my grenade launcher, fire grenades, he air blasts those back. And then, he sets fire to you, and you're slower than him, so he can get away from you.
They taunt you as well, don't
God
they?
God damn it.
Yeah, they taunt you.
But he also puffs fire before he does it. There's a script that lets you, it puffs fire and then does the air blast. Yeah. So you set the person on fire and then blast in the back, and he does that automatically without any of the script.
Whoa.
Let's find him where he lives to kill him.
But just find out who coded him.
He was doing it in humiliation as well, wasn't he? After he won his
he was just keeping
Craig.
Me up in the air.
Awesome. Okay, so shall we do Twitter questions from...
Aren't we doing a separate podcast with that?
No, but we've asked for a specific Team Fortress 2 questions.
So we've got a bunch of those.
Do we have any?
Yep, we should do.
Slight pause.
Actually, I have a quick question for us while we look those up. What do we think about the balance right now for all the classes?
I think it's amazing, actually. I think, presumably for competitive play, because they go for the structures... There are classes that are pointless.
Yeah.
Like, I guess
they never
failed
any engineers or heavies, I don't think.
I do kind of think the heavy needs a bit of a buff.
Yeah.
I'm finding him really lethal at the moment. I find he's more lethal.
Just lately.
Maybe not buff, but just some love.
Yeah.
And the medic, because they were the first classes anyway, they need something to sort of invigorate them. I would like Valve to grab those female models.
Yeah. That'd be great.
Not just because we're all sec perverts, it's because they're absolutely really amazing looking.
Yeah. I think the KGB was probably the unlock I've used the least, just because it's so... To have the
presence of mind. Boxing.
Come on. Oh, yeah, right, okay.
And come on, man. Ding, ding.
It takes that long, like, presence of mind to have, right, I've spun up my gun, I've killed someone miles away from me, but you go, taking
but
the
But it is the funniest thing in the world.
When the heavy advert came out and I was trying to get the achievement for doing that, or I think I just unlocked them because they're the last thing you get, I think. Mm. And I was really pleased with them, so I was playing against a friend, Roberkey, and I actually finally managed to pull it off, killed someone else, and went running for him with my gloves, with critsing on. He says it's the most terrifying sight he's ever seen. Just heavy with giant glowing boxing gloves.
They may be
going,
slow, but something about that just seems to slow you down when you try to back off. Tom and I have got special gloves that make us the speed of a scout with the boxing gloves.
What?
Yeah. So you run around and go, poof, poof, poof.
Awesome. Okay, so Acid Crash X asks, what's everyone's favourite Meet the video?
I think mine might still be the engineer.
Yeah, mine is too.
It turns out he's playing quite a famous song in that video.
Oh, really?
Oh, God, I can't remember it, isn't it?
I can't remember.
There's a great video where someone's recut the footage of that to make it look like he's playing Dragon Force.
Mine's Meet the Spy. It's just really
funny. The Spy is just amazingly fun.
Actually, Meet the Sniper's really good.
I really like the Sniper as well, though. That's the problem.
The thing I love about Sniper 1 is... it kind of mirrors situations that you actually have playing that class, so it's not all dramatized. It's kind of him playing the game, basically. Yeah. And he's sitting at the top of the tower and he shoots one guy and he says, "Did his mate see me?" And then it's just massive cacophony of fire. Yep, yes.
I like Meet the Soldiers. The conclusion seems to be all of them.
Right? Well, actually, Meet the Soldier had the great scout joke at the end.
The scout was not good.
No,
the scout's just a dick. That's why.
I liked the scout's attitude, and that it was fun.
The sandwich. I love the audacity of the sandwich.
To be honest. Punched out all my blood.
Okay, what do you think could be? This is Ferganator 4K. What do you think could be in TF2's update related future?
It's an interesting question. They're doing a polycount pack next, which is a winners of a community competition to make cool models, and people have made actual packs for the classes, so they've done their own little community class updates. I think they must have been given a directive by Valve that they shouldn't be totally outlandish, or maybe just totally outlandish ones didn't win, because all the ones they've done are, they don't know what the effects the weapons are going to have, so they've just made new weapons, like a boxy looking rocket launcher for the soldier.
That looks really nice.
Milk bottle for the scout to drink instead of bonk and stuff like that.
A non flick knife for the spy, which I'm really excited about.
Yeah. And it all looks brilliant, but we don't know what it's going to do yet. And so that's kind of exciting, because there won't be huge things. All the community stuff they put out before has been like, adds bleeding damage but does 15% less damage. Yeah. Or
I love the home wrecker. That's one of my favourite things.
Explosive O's asked, do you think the ability to move buildings as engineer or any other than the new engineer unlockables are overpowered / no good?
I thought the Wrangler was going to be overpowered, because it just sounds it. You know, it doubles the damage of the sentry, makes it three times as tough.
And gives it a shield. Range.
But you're so vulnerable with spying, it's great.
Plus, you're vulnerable to snipers. The amount of times I've taken out an engineer now with a headshot and just watched his sentry.
Because they're not going to be moving around while they're shooting with that thing.
Moving
the sentries, I haven't sort of noticed people doing it that much.
I do it
which
a
is
lot,
interesting,
it
actually.
It takes so long.
It's once you. I thought you could just dump it, but if you. So, one of the things I thought I'd end up doing is make a sentry, upgrade it to level 3, in safety, and then pick it up and take it. But you are really, really vulnerable.
Yeah.
And I think you can shoot out the sentry from people's hands as they're moving it without killing the engineer.
That would be brilliant, but I've never seen it.
If you do kill them while they're carrying it, it destroys the sentry as well.
I did it quite a lot. But I originally started doing it, so I build it at the back and take it to the front and watch it get destroyed. But now I start taking it down the middle, where I think they're going to be next, rather than kind of where they are now.
Because you kind of think that in the setup phase, you would be thinking about doing that. So putting a sentry
definitely.
Up.
Mm. Like even as attackers, you could build a sentry, then sneak out after the first wave and dump it down somewhere.
I quite like to apologise to all engineers, because this week I've been trying to play Engie. It's really hard.
It is really
And when
hard.
A spy stabs you, the rage is incalculable.
It's kind of the old fashioned Engies in particular, because you put so much work into stuff. Yeah. Yeah. Like the level 3 sentry is quite an achievement.
Yeah. Also, the song was Wilco. The band was Wilco, and it's someone else's song, it's called.
Oh, cool. I like Wilco.
Yeah. I like that they paid for it for a free video.
I think that's pretty much... There's lots of other
Speaking
questions.
Speaking of which, we haven't had a Meet the Medic or the Pyro yet, have we?
No.
Well...
The Meet the Pyro will never happen. It
I think that's
going to
be...
all the jokes about...
It's going to be the final thing. It's going to be... when the
They'll just
say,
shut
right,
down the game.
Yeah.
I mean,
you've met the Pyro.
I have heard that the Medic... It might just be that they're having real trouble getting the Medic guy to do the voice again.
Right.
Which would be real sad if he didn't do it. But he did it in Meet the Spy, I suppose.
There was a time when they had a Meet the Medic video done and they weren't entirely happy with it, because they were going to launch it with, I think...
Something.
No. I saw the soldier one before it came out.
Okay.
But the medic one that they talked about, they didn't show it to me, but they just said, we've got it, but we're not entirely happy with it, and probably going to take another stab at it.
Cool. Shall we close up our TF2 podcast then?
Yes.
Oh, there is one thing I want to talk about. Do arena mode, which I thought was going to be really big, and then massively flopped immediately.
Yeah,
I really hated it. I couldn't stand the thing that where if you have over a certain number of players, they make a chunk of you sit out.
Yeah.
The losing team, has a risk of a certain number of players will be kicked from the losing team and made to sit out while they scramble the teams.
Yeah.
And if you're going to scramble the teams, just scramble the teams. Yeah. You don't have to make anyone not play for a while.
We hacked our server to just accommodate people, and that was quite popular actually. And then we did King of the Hill, which is what arena mode should have been all the time.
Yeah, exactly. Like I love the when arena mode came out, I was kind of annoyed because. I hated the way it made people wait and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I actually love the structure of having one control point that unlocks it for a certain amount of time. Yeah. Just everything's totally focused and it can be really small scale and kind of personal.
Mm.
And then when King of the Hill came out, that just completely fit.
I do really like hate Nucleus as a map, though.
Like, really? Yeah. I really like Nucleus.
I leave it on the server quite a lot because it's we ultimately like it.
It feels quite bare, I think. I think it feels like it's had less love than a lot of the other ones.
I love the big glowing thing in the middle.
To be honest, like that's one of the issues. The only King of the Hill map I really like is the one where there's a hut and the saw blades in.
Yeah, that's Sawmill, but there's also a Viaduct.
Viaduct's one of my favourites.
Is that what's the one?
When there's snow in it.
What's the Halloween one called?
Oh, yeah, no, so I do like that one.
Yeah, the Halloween one is. I know a lot of Harvest. People who really hate Harvest, but
I quite like Harvest.
I loved it, so I kept it on the server and everyone was complaining about it because I loved the exploding pumpkins.
Because there are quite a few Harvest only servers out there.
Yeah, it's very rocket jump focused. You could tell a lot of people were kind of, they came out at the same time as that.
That's what I like about it. Like building sentries on roofs and stuff.
Yeah, it's nice.
The other one is like the Alpine map that it's just a like a ravine.
Yeah, it's giant, that one.
Yeah, it's just too big.
There's one, the first one they ever launched for Arena. Which looks really nice, and it's just like a big central building, and then there's a cliff with a log lying across it.
Yeah.
That's really, really nice, but they never released it for Arena mode, so I don't get to play it much. I'd love them to do that as King of the Hill. Yeah, and then I think Watchtower is the other one that's really big with a big tower in the middle, big ravine. And again, because it's Arena, I haven't played it much, but I kind of enjoyed it when I have played it.
That was cool. A flop then, Valve.
Yeah.
I just don't think you have that sense of camaraderie that even when you're not playing with people, you still feel like you're playing with people. Whereas in Arena mode, it feels like you're just playing on your own.
Yeah.
Okay, final question. Is Team Fortress 2 the best game on PC right now?
It's my favourite game. I've checked today. I've played it for 477 hours. But for an action game, it's, you know.
You should see Craig's race.
And you complain about how much I play World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
If I had to give someone a long game to play, it would still be Deus Ex for me. But okay. I think, obviously, if you're more into, you know, just messing around, then TF2's it.
Yeah, I think right now is kind of the big important thing on the end of that. But I think if you've ever played a shooter before, then yeah, pretty much.
I think it's the best cheerleader for the PC in terms of like
that is true. Yeah, it really shows off.
It shows
what
off
you can do here.
A lot of stuff as well. Still, community focus.
It's still the prettiest game I've ever played.
That is true.
It's 3 years later, it's still. It was out October the 18th, by the way.
October 18th.
Yeah. According to Wikipedia, it was out October the 9th in Japan. But we all had the beta before that, so it didn't really matter anyway. Everyone got in the beta, which was a full game.
So there's one final tip. I've been struggling with Team Fortress 2 recently because there's a bug in it, which means that on certain systems with certain virus checkers, it constantly checks the stat system of that file is constantly changing, that stores all your old stats. And it slows Team Fortress 2 down to crawl to make it unplayable. And there's a 70-page thread on it on the official Team Fortress forums. There is a solution, and it is turn off your virus checker.
70 pages.
Yeah, actually, I've got a tech tip too. Since the engineer update, I found a weird thing where my mouse would lag. Like every now and then, it would just sort of stop turning mid-lateral turn. And loads of people had this. There are loads of complaints about Steam forums, completely unresolved in most of them.
Yeah.
And then eventually found someone saying, if you go into the video options and advance and disable multi-core rendering, it fixes it. And sure enough, it did.
Cool. Hooray!
Hooray.
Top tip.
Hooray for single-core rendering.
Welcome to the future.
This is what you only get on the PC Game Podcast. Right, we're going to stop now and we're going to record another podcast and we're going to do two podcasts in 4 weeks and it is incredible. Right, thank you guys.
Bye.
Cheers. Bye.